Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Monday, Monday.
Did you miss me? 6:11.
So good to me.
Back from a week in the burbs. And, ooh, it got crazy. No, actually, it didn't get crazy. It's a week in the burbs. Thanks to Pete McMurray for filling in and to David Plyer and anybody else that did this show. Can't tell you I heard much of it, but I'm sure it was great. And, Dave, welcome back to you.
Thank you, Steve. How was your holiday?
It was just pretty good. No, it was quite good.
It's not good.
Abigail Grace was, a big part of it.
Sure. Well,
she'll be a year old on December 17th. How about that?
That's crazy.
That year flew by.
That's and one day before your son's birthday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and 2 days before my mother's birthday. We pack them all in.
And one day before my dad's birthday, which he's not related.
Yeah. And 6 days after my son's birthday.
We got to get your dad and my mom together.
We talked about this.
Yeah, we did talk about it, but I think it could create
That would
problems.
Make you and I stepbrothers.
Yes. Yikes.
That would be fun. We could have sleepovers.
Oh, good. Another movie. Those aren't pillows.
This one less violent, probably. But I'm going to bring this up to Dr. Most later this hour. For the first time in my life, I had a little food allergy thing.
Uh-oh.
Where I took a bite of stuffing and a fine Thanksgiving dinner, by the way. At least I was told it was good. And my throat started to close down.
Really?
And I coughed for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. Yeah, it was bizarre.
What was in the stuffing?
Yeah.
Linoleum.
A problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We're still waiting for the NCIS people to get the test results and send them back to us. So, other than that, things were good. Got a little shopping done. I'd love to tell you that I had
You went out on Black Friday?
No, I actually went out on Tuesday. Wednesday. Prior to
Black
Friday.
Oh, last Tuesday.
Yeah, and got a few things. Got a couple things done. So, yeah, it was good. It was good. I'd like to tell you that I had a wild week, crazy show business week. Nah, I just kind of, just did some stuff. Just caught up on some stuff.
It's good to have a week like that.
I may take the whole month of December off. We'll see.
Okay. Let us know, will you?
How about you, Mary?
Good. I was in Wisconsin, till Saturday, and shops in Ashland, Wisconsin were pretty dead on Friday. They don't have many stores left. It's kind of sad.
It is sad.
In some of these small towns.
Small town America.
You know, it used to be, they have really cute gift shops and a few other stores, Army-Navy surplus store, which was good, but yeah, that was it. And I don't know, I went out with my mother-in-law, had fun, and she had made a great meal.
Now, your mother-in-law loves to shoplift, right? She likes to go out and put a few things in her purse.
She's trouble.
Right?
She is trouble.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case.
But, yeah.
And John DeCoste?
I did go out on Black Friday.
John DeCoste had a herbal turkey.
Yes. Herbal turkey. It was actually made out of potpourri.
We were talking about this. You bought your turkey from some fancy schmancy place in the city.
We did. Yeah, my son recommended it.
And, well, but we love your son. It's you we're not sure of.
Right.
And the turkey was, what was it, $5 a pound?
It was $4.79 a pound. But in our defense, it was in a hammock for 4 years. So it was rested.
It was fanned.
Didn't you tell me it had poetry read to it each night?
Yes, poetry read to it. And I think the family surrounded it when it passed away.
Now, the people that sold you this turkey were the same people that sold Sandberg the pumpkins?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They said, hey, let's go really high on this because she spent $100 on a pumpkin.
And how many pounds was this turkey?
16 pounds. Do the math.
Wow.
That's an $80 turkey.
Yeah. Oh, that's a little rough. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very lean. There wasn't any fat, which then, of course, there wasn't any flavor.
By the way, one quick cooking tip.
Wasn't moist at all.
One quick cooking tip. If you get tired of the carving, because there's a lot of work carving a turkey up, I just put a little C4 right where the stuffing goes.
Yes.
And you take cover for a second, and boy, that boy is ready to go really quickly. Yeah. That's just a little tip from me.
That's pretty good.
Paul Conrad is off today. Andrea Darlis is off today. She has quite a story to tell tomorrow on the show. Steve Grzanich, you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did. I'm buying a drone. I can't talk.
What did he say?
He's buying a drone.
No, I thought he said a drum.
I'm Cyber Mondaying up here, trying to buy a drone.
All right, well, good luck.
No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I had a
I don't think you are, actually. I can tell you're focused.
I'm actually writing a sportscast and a newscast here and checking business.
Why are you writing a sportscast, Steve? I usually take care of those.
Well, I have to do, you know, we also anchor the news on me.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we do a sportscast on that on 87.7. So I have to do a sportscast.
Why can't you do the sportscast on 87.7?
Yeah, Dave.
Oh, thanks for asking, Steve. I hadn't been asked up until now. I'm wondering how I can do that down here in the studio with you.
No, because when you do sports, I'm jotting down what you say really fast.
I have a lot of demands, don't I? And at 6:17, President-elect Trump says the election that he won was rigged. We'll get to that coming up. Let's get traffic in here, and Mary's got that for you. Oh, well, later on this morning, day one of the CLTV project at 9 o'clock. The 9 o'clock hour will be simulcast on CLTV every day starting today, and the 3 o'clock hour with Roe. At 6:21, the Steve Cochran Show with Dr. Kevin Most after 6:30, Hamp after 7:30. The Bears had a very winnable game yesterday that they worked very, very hard, and they focused, and they gave it away. 10 dropped passes. I'm thinking that might be on Hamp's mind. Jim Ryan from ABC News in Havana, in Cuba after 8:30. And after 9:30, Mark DiCarlo's wife, Mark's a pal and has been forever, and been on the show many times. Mark DiCarlo's wife, Yenny Alvarez, was a big star on Mexican television for forever, and came to L.A. and met Mark, and he ruined her life. No, met Mark, and they fell in love and got married. And she does voiceover. She's an actress, very talented woman, very attractive, talented woman. At any rate, she is first-generation Cuban and very emotional about her parents coming here and what Fidel Castro was and what he certainly wasn't. Anyway, she'll be on later to talk about it from a very personal perspective. And then we'll have Elise Glink on later in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about Cyber Monday. So here's how we think the CLTV thing's going to work. If you have CLTV, and I think most cable systems do, I just found out AT&T doesn't have it, AT&T cable.
Is that right?
So get it together, AT&T. You know who could fix that up for us is the woman in the phone store.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
What's her name? The woman that's in the phone store? She's in there all the time. She sells the phones to everybody. The
guy walks into the door.
Yeah.
What the heck is
cute
her
girl.
Name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flo?
What's her name?
Flo is Progressive.
Flo is Progressive. Yeah, I can't think of her name. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So we'll call her.
Her real
we'll tell
name?
Her to get CLTV. No, her real name is like Zippity Doodah or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty deep. But at any rate, everybody but AT&T cable customers ought to be able to get CLTV. And after 9 o'clock this morning, we'll do a live simulcast with them. So we'll have a full wardrobe change around 8:55. And, we'll have a full orchestra in here to play us in. No, it's going to be the radio show on TV. So I'd like to tell you that we're adding a lot of bells and whistles. But it'll be an experiment for a few days until we figure out what we want to do with it. And then we'll gin it up. Are you going to bring in makeup for everybody?
Well, I was going to ask you about that and what time you need to get into makeup to be ready for 9 o'clock.
I agree with that, if we demanded a makeup person. It's a radio show, Steve.
Yeah, I didn't know this thing was starting, so I didn't bring any of my lipstick, makeup, anything.
Well, without lipstick, I won't go
yeah.
around.
You know I'll just that. Go into Andrea's desk and see if I can find some.
So that'll be 9 o'clock hour, and we hope you'll, if you have an opportunity and you're around your TV, to watch CLTV, and you can watch that. Again, Ro and Anna and Kevin and Violetta and the other 14 people on that show, their 3 o'clock hour will be on every day. All right, some of the things that happened while we were out included an unbelievable, in a lot of different ways, national anthem by Aretha Franklin at the Thursday Detroit Lions-Minnesota Vikings game that lasted 4.5 minutes. Now, we're not going to play you a 4.5-minute national anthem, and I have a thing about the national anthem. I won't play a piece of the anthem. If you're going to get the anthem, you're going to get
the whole thing.
But the national anthem done in 4.5 minutes, I watched it, And as a black entertainer, you know that I am, you know, I'm more than, I love Aretha, obviously.
Of course.
Black folks, white folks, green folks, brown folks, whoever. Everybody loves Aretha. But the 4.5 minutes? No. No, we don't need that. No, I'm going to have to say no to that. I'm going to have to ask that not to happen again.
National anthem you can recall.
That's got to be a record.
Is that it?
That has to be
a
record.
Yeah, my mom said she was appalled by it. She said it was ridiculous.
Well, I could see going to church, but she didn't go to church. She went to Aretha land and stayed there for
and a couple masses. Yeah, she went
I thought it was weird the Lions had 2 first downs before she finished.
Well, the funny thing is CBS put a graphic up for time of possession, and they put time of possession for both teams, and they put 4.5 minutes under Aretha. So that was strong. So that happened. We also had, you know, this back and forth about who's going to fill out the Trump cabinet. A weird thing that's going on with the Trump surrogates, and particularly Kellyanne Conway, who ran his campaign, who couldn't hate Mitt Romney more, and is out saying negative things about him. So we don't know if that means that Trump is behind the scenes not listening to Kellyanne Conway or others who would like Rudy Giuliani to get the job. But it's very odd for someone who allegedly works for the boss to come out against someone he may actually choose and to box him into a corner. And then last night, the bizarre thing I mentioned at the top of the show, which is Donald Trump. And this comes off this recount push by Jill Stein, who got less than 1% of the vote nationally. She has a right to ask for a recount if she's willing to pay for it. She raised $6 million or something in a GoFundMe page, which may or may not pay for the recount. We could actually keep the money in a campaign fund. So it is a bit of a scam. The Trump people aren't wrong about that. But having said that, she's entitled to a recount if she wants a recount. The Hillary Clinton people said, okay, we're in. It's a great way for the Clinton people to backdoor their way in. You know, they don't have to say, oh, we object. They can say, well, we just want to make sure everything's okay. But the fact is, this is the Clinton people saying, all right, if you're going to check, why wouldn't we want to know? It's not a huge deal. It's not going to change anything. They're going to go in and run the numbers in Wisconsin, possibly in Michigan, which was closer than Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. But I would guess the Wisconsin thing will be it, and they'll keep the rest of the money. But this somehow lit a fire under the Trumpster, who'd been quiet for a few days. And last night, Donald Trump went on a little tweet rant and said that he would have won the popular vote as well if not for the fact that millions of people voted illegally. Now, the only documented case of an illegal vote that we have is a Trump voter, is someone who fraudulently voted for Trump and tried to play a double vote situation. We have no indication that anybody voted illegally. And this is what Trump needs to avoid. This is what he has to stop doing. He has to stop reacting to every little thing. And when the voices in his head get too loud, he has to have Melania or Kellyanne Conway or Ivanka or somebody in his life say, settle down, take a breath, go for a walk. Here, go to the range, hit a few golf balls, but don't tweet. You know, when you really feel like you have to tweet, don't tweet. Because last night, in a extended series of tweets, he claimed that the election that he won was rigged. That's just beyond stupid. And I say that with all the respect in the world for the office, but when someone's being stupid, you got to call them out for being stupid.
But don't you think he was so prepared to say the election was rigged that he just didn't want to waste all the time and thought he'd put into it?
I think he doesn't do anything by way of preparation. I think everything is shoot from the hip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why we need to watch him carefully. So hopefully Trump will drop that today and move on, because he had created a lot of positives. I mean, he had some sketchy, by my view, campaign thoughts, or I should say cabinet thoughts, but he had created a lot of positives. I love the Romney idea, and he had saw a bunch of other people that looked like they could be positives. So don't go back to crazy Don. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane for presidential Don, and stop sending out tweets that say you won the race. I mean, the whole thing is about losing versus winning. That's his whole core thing. And the fact that she won the popular vote by almost 2 million votes, and he won the electoral vote, which determines who the president is, you should just live with that. Live with the fact that you won. So if you got a problem with it, call George W. You had the same scenario in 2000. But as of this morning, Donald Trump is saying the election he won is rigged.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
Well, there is.
The WGN hotline.
Ah, sing with us.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
The only show that's teaching you the word edema. You're not getting that from Steve Harvey. You're not getting that from Eric and Kathy. Let me go to Dr. Kevin Most. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I had a fantastic Thanksgiving. And, you know, the sign of success is when no one ends up in the emergency room after you've fed them.
That's very true. Now, it's funny you say that, because I had the first ever food allergy experience in my life.
Wow.
There was something. Well, there are two different types of stuffing, so we haven't determined who the criminal is yet. But I took a bite of stuffing and my throat started to close up and I started coughing and the cough continued for like 2 hours.
Wow.
To the point where I was standing outside like a dog being made, wait in the yard, Fido. You know, just to get some cold air, some fresh air. Anyway, it sort of calmed down after a while, but I've never had that experience before.
And that's a difficult thing. Stuffing has a lot of ingredients in it. So you have to kind of figure out which ingredient was in the one that you haven't been exposed to in the past. If you would have said like Brussels sprouts or something, I would have said, hey, stop there. You're not going down that road.
We've imprisoned both of the chefs until we find out which one tried to kill me. But I've never had that experience before. And I never got to the point where you go, well, you got to go to an emergency room. And that, you know, it wasn't EpiPen-ish. But the only thing I've ever been allergic to in my life is cats. And unless there are cats in the stuffing, I think, you know, there's something else going on.
Now, were you smart enough to take a Benadryl at least?
Well, here's why I didn't.
Going outside was going to be.
No, here's why I didn't. Because a Benadryl knocks me out like a punch from Mike Tyson.
You just ate anyway, you know, from the turkey.
Well, but we had a house full of people.
Oh.
Or I should say a mobile home full of people.
Well, that'll give you an excuse to get away.
Well, I like these people.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, Abigail was there.
Yeah, exactly. And so, no, I did not. And I sort of came out of it. But I sort of felt funky all weekend.
Huh. Yeah, you should probably look into that. It probably was something that you haven't been exposed to in the past. Some ingredient put in there. And a lot of them, you know, a lot of the stuffings are prepared by manufacturers already. So it's just like it's not just bread. It's already flavored with many things.
Yeah, these were both homemade. And there was a skull and crossbones on the side of one of the tinfoil, you know, containers. So maybe that's the one
that's
was the problem.
One you pass on.
Yeah, that's the one you probably shouldn't do. But I hope everybody else had a great Thanksgiving. And I'm glad you did. By the way, our text question today, Doc, which I haven't announced yet, but our text question today is, whose Thanksgiving blew up the biggest and why? Did your Thanksgiving go south real fast? Did you have a problem at Thanksgiving? And what happened? So, text us. 312-981-7200 is the number. Everybody good in the Most family?
Everyone's great. Everyone's great. We had a great Thanksgiving, you know, and Kurt led the prayer, and we all had to go around and say what we were thankful for, and that gets emotional, and it's pretty cool.
But yeah, it was nice.
It kind of grounds you, so it was great.
No, it is nice. It's a very nice thing. And that's why Thanksgiving is always one of my favorite holidays because, you know, I still like most of my family.
Yeah.
So I can't say they say the same about me, but, you know, what are you going to do? When we come back after traffic, you know what I was thankful for? That Titleist driver. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple of basic things you need to know as the weather turns cold. You know, Amy Cochran has got bronchitis.
Now, that's not surprising, though.
But I want you to explain what bronchitis is and explain why people get sick as soon as the weather turns cold, because we also know that you can walk outside with a head full of wet hair and you're not going to get the cold. Your mother always said you would.
Correct.
So we'll come back. More with Dr. Kevin Most in a second. Back with Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. All right, so bronchitis, not surprised because you're seeing a lot of it?
Well, two reasons. One, you know, Amy, a great educator of special needs kids.
Right.
So she is going to be exposed, unfortunately, from now until May with every infection that hits around here. Kids are petri dishes for viruses. Special need kids, they have a little higher incidence of it. They sometimes can't cough it up. They can't clear it as quickly as others. So she's going to be exposed to quite a few of it.
All right. So bronchitis is contagious?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the interesting
thing. Why did I think if it ends in IS, it's not contagious?
You know, if it's itis, here's medicine for you.
Yeah.
Anything that lands that ends in itis means inflammation of. So bronchitis,
arthritis,
sinusitis, conjunctivitis, appendicitis, arthritis, exactly. Just means inflammation. So we just have to figure out what causes it. So bronchitis can be caused by viruses, can be caused by bacteria, can be caused by exposure to chemicals. You know, you go into a pool area that's highly chlorinated and you start coughing. You're not infected, but your bronchioles are inflamed.
Yeah, see, I had bronchitis for the majority of my childhood. And by the way, my parents were both chain smokers, so that helped.
Yep.
But, you know, I guess I hadn't heard as much about it in recent years, but it obviously didn't go away.
No, doesn't go away. And that's the tough thing about it. And people say, well, stop my cough, stop my cough. I don't want to cough anymore. And I say, okay, that's fine. I can stop your cough, but then I'm going to treat you for pneumonia, you know, because bronchitis is actually, although we hate it, it's actually a defense mechanism. It keeps stuff out of our lungs. So when we hate coughing up and I hate coughing stuff up and having to spit it out, yeah, that same stuff would be heading south into your lungs if you didn't have that cough. So although we hate it, it's a good defense mechanism for us.
And kids are sick all over this time of year. As a matter of fact, Sandberg, you brought up something about, you know, your kids come home and they were playing with sick kids and what?
I want to know, am I preventing anything by getting them out of the exposed clothing, get them showered, or is the germs already in them and then going to be in me?
Yeah.
I'm run them through a car wash.
Probably one of the best things you can do as soon as they get home is have them wash their hands with soap and water. You know, these kids have either been on the bus or coming home, and they haven't washed their hands. They've been coughing in their hands. They've been touching other things. Now they come home. What's the first thing they do? They go to the refrigerator door. They go to the bathroom door. They grab the TV remote. Now, any virus that they've had on their hands that they've got exposed to at school or have had with themselves are now laying around your house for the next 24 hours for the next individual who's going to pick up the TV remote. So kids will spread infections, that's for sure.
Clorox wipes, the best thing you invented ever.
I don't like those because they leave everything wet.
Well, it dries really quick, like the remote. Keep washing the remote off with a Clorox
wipe. I'm going to turn
these right, Doc?
Two.
That's what I do all the time.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, the ones that will dry quick are the ones with the higher alcohol content. So, and they also work better. So look for that.
Patrick likes to fist bump me when he comes out of school, but now we're no longer going to touch hands until we get home and he washes his hands. And we learned from you, you have to wash them for like 45 seconds.
Have you just thought about a bubble for the kids, just a stand bubble?
And since I've known these kids, Steve, I've gotten bronchitis every year. So you'll be very familiar now that we work together.
You thought you just signed up for the marriage and these kids were wonderful 99% of the time. Nope, you get all the funk as well.
I know.
You have to remember the average kid is going to have 6 to 10 viral infections in a year.
Oh,
and
my
if you're
gosh.
Exposed to a couple of kids, chances are you're going to have it
doubling
in
our.
So you're going to go over to Channel 2 and get Dave, whatever his name is. What's the investigative guy at Channel 2? Dave
Savini.
Dave Savini's blue light and start going around her house.
Yeah.
There's the virus. All right.
I will tell you one thing, Mayor, and this is something very serious, because parents will also say, gosh, my kid's got a runny nose and he's coughing. Grab me some of that cold medicine that I have in the cabinet and give it to him. And we've got to be really, really careful there because, one, they haven't been tested on kids. Two, they're not approved for kids. So really, anyone under the age of 12 is my cutoff, should not have any cold medications.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, that's important. Under the age of 12, regardless of what the box says.
Well, you can get that kid's cough medicine, right?
If the box has a pediatric dosing, that's fine. You're not going to see one that's going to have a pediatric dosing under the age of 4. The FDA has come out and said no cold medications for anyone under the age of 4.
All right, so the labeling matters, but does it matter if you get the pediatric meds? I mean, in other words, should you steer yourself towards those?
No. To be honest with you, they're the biggest waste of money. And a huge, huge study came out and showed that they really don't do anything. People buy them because they're frustrated with the symptoms, and they want that quick cure. You walk down the aisle at a Walgreens, and it is just loaded
yep.
with all these medications,
yep.
and the boxes are colorful to catch
is
your
it
eyes.
Pink and purple?
Yeah, but they don't work. And I mean, if people could say, oh, of course they work, I'll tell anybody, Google it. Look on the internet. Look at the FDA. They will tell you these medications don't work.
Or ask another doctor. Get a second opinion on the one that Dr. Most just gave you.
And the dosing is confusing because, like, Catherine's 12 and she's 5'4", but only weighs 60 pounds. So it's like, yep, we can't tell. Is that the adult weight, the youth weight?
Yeah, so what do you do for them instead? What do you do?
And that's the problem.
I give
the
them
the,
I knock them out with Benadryl.
Not the cure for everything.
All right, DCFS on line two for you. All right, so why cold weather triggering all of this? Is it simply seasonal?
It's two things. It's seasonal, and viruses for some reason have a higher lifespan, I'll say, when they're in the cold. Just like the influenza virus, we know, you say, why don't we see a lot more influenza in the summer? It actually has this protective coating that works well in the winter, and it kind of protects itself. So we're a lot more inside now instead of being out. Kids aren't out running around. They're all in. We stay a lot closer during the winter, and things are a lot more closed up during the winter. So we crowd together during the winter, and that's why it's much easier to pass it on from one person to another.
So a closer contact, and you know, we're touching each other. So,
yeah.
And we're touching hands to everything you mentioned earlier. Really a disgusting segment now that I think about it, Doug. All right, so quickly, bacteria versus viruses. What's the difference?
Yeah, so bacteria, we can use antibiotics to kill bacteria. We fortunately have those medications. Viruses, we don't have any medications to kill viruses. And you say, well, why is that? There are thousands and thousands of viruses, and they're a lot stronger than bacteria. So I always tell people when they come in with a sore throat, first thing I say is, gosh, I hope you have strep throat. And they look at me like I'm a Martian saying, that's so rude. Why would you say that to me? And I say, well, because I can cure you in 3 days, four days.
Right.
And you'll feel much better and you won't be contagious. If you have a virus, there's nothing we can do. So, you know, shaming the doctor or pressuring the doctor into giving you an antibiotic, not a good idea. It's not going to do anything. It has a lot of side effects.
All right. Important to note, obviously. So we talked about the bronchial thing a moment ago. We also have talked before about antibiotics and not everybody should take them. A, they don't cure colds. And B, right, the medical community is trying to limit these from actually killing off the effects of all antibiotics. That's a real problem, kids. So doctors could prescribe antibiotics and tell you don't take them. Explain that.
Yeah. So often what we're going to do is, you know, it's that patient that has that really bad upper respiratory infection that's a virus. And we say sometimes viral infections will transition into bacterial infections. And you're like, what? How does that work? It's not that the virus changes into a bacteria. Unfortunately, we have a lot of bacteria in our mouths, in our sinuses. And when we get highly congested with an upper respiratory infection, the bacteria have just as much chance of replicating there now as the virus does. So that's why I like Mucinex. Clear that out, get it out of your system because you're getting rid of bacteria and viruses. Eventually, bacteria, if the congestion stays there long enough, can multiply to a point where now you have a bacterial infection. And you're going to start to see fever of 102. You're going to start to see facial pain. You're going to start to see worsening cough and coughing stuff up that's even worse than before. Colds that last 7 to 10 days are okay. Colds that last 14 days and are continuing to get worse are not. That is the transition from I had a bad virus and now the bacteria have taken over and are pushing a bacterial infection.
All right, you mentioned Mucinex. OTC meds, are there ones you like in combination with Mucinex?
Not really, to be honest with you.
Mucinex. So Mucinex push the fluids and get some rest.
Yeah. Mucinex loosens things up and makes it easier for us to cough them up. It mechanically removes the infection from our body. All of the other things, really the ones, some of them don't work and are dangerous. I shouldn't say dangerous. Decongestants, what do? They don't do too much, but they'll raise your blood pressure and raise your heart rate. Antihistamines actually can make things worse when you have an infection because they dry things out, and now they allow the bacteria to sit there and multiply. So, you know, I'm a Tylenol, Advil to keep your fever down. Advil is also a great anti-inflammatory, kind of helps with those body aches, and Mucinex, and push fluids and rest.
Yeah, and employers, let your people stay home when they're sick and sit in their own swill. Don't bring it to the office.
Yeah, you don't want it. You don't want to go from three people in the office sick to 43 people in the office sick.
Yeah, it's just a bad idea. Doc, great information as always. We'll post it, and thank you for that. And I'm glad you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you gave your mom a hug for me.
I did.
And thank you for everything you do for the show. We'll continue it, of course. Next Monday, we've got quite a story to tell you. It's the reason Andrea Darlis is out today. But I'll save that for her to tell.
Okay.
It involves a trip and a specialist and being quarantined. All right, maybe not the last part.
Yeah, it's about Mexico, and it has nothing to do with Montezuma's Revenge, so it's perfect.
Exactly, so it's okay. All right, enjoy your day. Thanks. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. News next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
Starting today, a live simulcast on CLTV of this show and Rokan, the 9 o'clock hour of this show, the 3 o'clock hour of Rokan with Anna and all Rose little friends, including the legendary Kevin Powell. That's at 3 o'clock. But we'll do the 9 o'clock hour first this morning. And if you're on CLTV, we hope you'll watch it. At 7:14, I've got to get to this story, and then John DeCoste will join us in a second. John is our special guest today. You're not easy to book, are you?
No.
No. And we'll tell you how you can get tickets for New Year's Eve, but we'll also give away a couple of pair.
That sounds great.
In just a second. I want to get to the story of people being angry with a Japanese situation where 5,000 fish were frozen in an ice rink as a work of art. These are dead fish, but people came out to skate on this ice rink, and there were 5,000 fish frozen underneath them.
Okay.
But that's not nearly as tasteless as this one. There's a two-part Russian story that came from the weekend, and none of it has to do with Donald Trump, so you should be pleased. Vladimir Putin granted Steven Seagal a Russian passport, making him a Russian citizen last week, and said in part in his statement he hoped this would help heal the divide between our countries. Yes, because now that Steven Seagal is a Russian citizen, we can all breathe easier.
Well, he battled them on trains and boats, didn't
he? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But this one is, let me just tell you the story. The chief spokesman for Vladimir Putin has a wife who is a championship figure skater. And over the weekend, she was in a show. And in the show, the figure skating display, she did a routine along with her partner, that was based on the 1997 Italian film Life is Beautiful, which tells the story of a Jewish father who tries to hide his son from the horrors of the Holocaust. That's right. They dressed up in Holocaust-like outfits and did a figure skating routine about the Holocaust.
No.
Yes. And supposedly were quite surprised that people were so upset. So, between Putin getting Steven Seagal citizenship and that type of trouble, maybe we have nothing to worry about with Russia because they seem fairly clueless to me.
Did they also have fish under the ice?
They did not. I think that might be part three to their story. All right, at 7:17, Mario, do the traffic, and then we'll give you a chance to grab a couple of tickets for New Year's Eve. Check the text, you guys. I have not done that yet, but the text question of the day is, whose Thanksgiving blew up and why? Whose Thanksgiving went south? Whose Thanksgiving crashed and burned and why? It's therapy. We share.
Sure.
And I'm assuming a lot of those will be political arguments, but you never know. It could be just dysfunctional cousin Bob who came home and ruined it for everybody.
You know what we ended up talking about at Thanksgiving dinner? This is so weird. I was at my mother-in-law's house with two neighbors and my husband, and we talked about veterinarian toe cutting of cows.
Well, of course you did.
It got very interesting.
Who didn't have that discussion
on
Thanksgiving?
No one else is having this discussion.
We didn't buy that game this year.
that version of Operation never sold much, did it? Where you had the cow?
No, they got zapped.
Yeah. John DeCoste is here. By the way, the texter line is 312-981-7200. On New Year's Eve, John and I will do two shows.
Two shows.
North and South. For people that have said forever, hey, I go, what? I go, why don't you come west? You know, you live out this way. Why don't you come west? Okay, we're coming back west. We haven't done a show west in a long time.
They spoke, we listened.
Exactly. So first off, we will stay north for a 1 o'clock special show. Now, this 1 o'clock show.
Yeah.
There's not a single person listening you couldn't go, oh, I can't make the 1 o'clock show because I have plans at midnight. Really? So the 1 o'clock show will be with our friends at the Row.
That'll be at the Row in Crystal Lake at 1 o'clock with Pat McGann, myself, Tim Banker, and you and the band.
And then we head south for a 6 o'clock show. Well, it's more west. Southwest, I suppose.
Southwest.
A 6 o'clock show at the legendary Tivoli.
Beautiful Tivoli. Yeah, 1,000-seat theater in downtown Downers Grove. Classic cinema. And it's gorgeous. That's with Larry Reeb and our own Patty Vasquez.
Yeah. So Patty, Larry, you, me, and Tim will be there as well, right?
Tim, yes. Tim will be doing both of them. Yes. Our
And that's a 6 o'clock show. So again, for those of you that can't stay awake until midnight, we moved it up. So now you can actually stay awake till 10 and go to another party.
Yeah. We wanted them to be home by the WGN 9 o'clock news.
Exactly. It's really thinking about TV. We're trying to help those folks out.
That's right.
So either 1 o'clock or 6 o'clock, we'll give away a pair of tickets each. You can call at 312-981-7200. Bennett, you want to go with caller? Bennett's filling in for Mike Jacobson today. You want to go with caller 720? 720, does that work for you?
That sounds good.
All right. Sandberg just flipped me off or said I'm number one. I don't know which that is. But let's go with callers 7 and 8.
Wow.
Okay. Caller 7 and caller 8, all right? They're big winners. And caller 7 can pick which show they want, and so can caller 8, okay? So the 1 o'clock or the 6 o'clock show. A couple of texters. Steve, I'd like to donate junior pies to your first 250 people that come to your New Year's Eve show from our friend at the Fasano Pie Company.
Oh, I love
Do we
want
to give pies out to the audience?
But he did not. Could they
risky.
Could throw them in your face.
Yeah. But they're little pies.
Yeah, they couldn't hurt.
They don't
much.
Hurt.
But which show is he
Peter
talking
Fasano
about?
Is one of the best, and he's a fan of the show, and he's a great guy, and we love his pies.
Oh,
man, the
good.
Pies are too good to throw.
Just as long as they're not
I know.
Yes.
They really are. That's very
or
nice.
Just throw them at me. I'll just hoard them.
The Fasano Pie Company. All right, here we go. 7:08. On Thanksgiving Day, my dad was in the hospital. My sister-in-law offered to watch my son so my wife and I could go visit him. 10 minutes after we got to the hospital, my mother-in-law called. Said that we could not leave our son there all day long. This created an argument between my wife and mother-in-law. My sister-in-law got involved because she didn't want to be in my mother-in-law's crosshairs. It was a 4-hour argument all over the phone and constant phone calls. Needless to say, we all got together for dinner and nobody talked. That's what I'm talking about. Thanksgiving stories that went bad. 312-981-7200. That's the telephone number. All right, John, so on New Year's Eve, the 1 o'clock show, how do people get tickets for that?
The 1 o'clock show, you can go to rowcenter.org, or you can contact their box office directly at 815-356-9212. And for the 6 o'clock at the Tivoli, go to classiccinemas.com. You just look under special events, and there's Steve Cochran at New Year's Eve. Click on the Eventbrite button and buy your tickets there. Or you can go to Eventbrite directly and get your tickets through them.
All right. And both of those cases, we're going to have great shows.
Oh, yes. We always do.
There's no reason for you to miss out on New Year's Eve, 1 o'clock or 6 o'clock. So it's great. And thanks to everybody at Classic Cinemas.
Yes.
And the Tivoli for letting us come play. I got some people demanding I do the frozen fish in Japan story. It's a Japanese theme park which froze 5,000 sea creatures into the floor of an ice rink. It was forced to close the attraction on Sunday after a public backlash. Fish, crabs, and other shellfish were embedded in the ice. It's part of a special winter attraction called Freezing Port at Japan's Space World theme park. The park advertised it as a world first. Yeah, right, because nobody else is dumb enough to do it. And posted images of the fish on its official Facebook site with the captions including, I'm drowning, I'm suffocating.
Okay, well, that was probably not. I was going to say, they're the number one consumer of sushi. Why was the big issue?
Well, it's the idea.
Because they couldn't eat it?
It was the idea. No. It's the idea that you're mocking killing these
sea creatures. that was
now,
far.
We're assuming they were already dead when they were frozen in the ice, but even so.
All right.
Yeah. We were shocked to hear the reaction as the ice skate rink was very popular since it opened 2 weeks ago. We had an unprecedented number of visitors. You know, it's weird. The same person that ran this is the ice skater that did the tribute to the Holocaust in Russia.
Really?
So it turns out none of this is Putin's fault. Coming up on 728, and we're back after this. Steve Cochran Show number 785. Hope you guys had a nice holiday, and if you didn't, I'd love to hear about it. 312-981-7200. Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, at Cochran Show on Twitter. 312-981-7200 for phone calls and texters. 728 and 720, WGN.
Throwing end zone. It is caught for the Chicago touchdown. It's Daniel Brown. And for Matt Barkley, his first career NFL touchdown pass.
That's fairly amazing to me. Barkley graduated like in 1986, didn't he?
Feels that way.
That's his first. Yesterday was his first NFL start.
First NFL start in first three NFL touchdown passes.
Well, let me tell you this: it wasn't his fault. You know, I just want to take him aside and go, Matt, it wasn't your fault, as was well elucidated yesterday afternoon. If you caught the best post game show, whether it's pre or post, you got to hear the Hamp, OB, and Kaz show with the experiment of Mark Harmon. And yesterday, you were in fine form, my friend. Welcome. How are you?
Well, we made it through another Thanksgiving weekend. But, you know, the big news over the weekend, it's official. There has to be a recount. They've got to have a recount. So I went back over the film this morning. It was indeed 10 drops. So,
and I heard Kaz say, I guess Carmen and Kaz confirmed this stat. By the way, this is sponsored, of course, by our friends at ChevyDriveChicago.com. But they've been keeping drop stats since 2006. The most drops in NFL history happened yesterday. So if you were at the game, you saw NFL history yesterday. No team has ever dropped 10 balls in a game.
You know, but the good news is, Steve, now we don't have to worry about the Christmas gift basket. They'll just drop it, so we don't have to worry
right,
about that.
Right.
You know, there's so much you could talk about, you know, how the receivers just, you know, their moment to shine. But the underbelly of this, and a lot of people may forget, is the guy that is supposed to be out there catching those passes, Alshon Jeffrey. He is suspended. So, unfortunately, his selfish indulgence has created a situation and put these, you know, lesser players on the stage where they now have made history. So, I mean, there's lots of blame to go around, a lot of fingers. I will tell you this about Barkley. The moment wasn't too big for him. A lot of time in their first career start, and I heard what you said. It seems like he's been around for 10 years. But, you know, he got after it, and he was decisive. And he showed he's got a little bit of an arm, and he's got some machismo. He knew where he wanted to go with the ball. He put it on the money, and unfortunately, our receivers could not bring it down.
Was it the 50-degree temperatures or the 5-mile-an-hour crosswind was the biggest problem?
You know, Kaz was a receiver in the NFL. Right. Yeah, I know he was mainly special teams, but he technically was a receiver. And I asked him yesterday during a break, and he says, well, it's a combination of all. He goes, they got real bad technique a lot of times. I think it was Wilson in the end zone had his hands backwards instead of catching the ball in the proper way. Right. There's bad concentration. There's other situations where they, you know, they're not as precise in their route running, where they are prepared to turn and address the ball, present themselves. So there's a whole can of worms. And again, like I said, it all came to bear yesterday. And the one catch by Bellamy in the end zone, and we're basically not talking about 9 drops because we got to win. So, we could also talk about the fact that the defense that we keep waiting on to be, you know, physically assertive and stop some people couldn't stop Tennessee in the first half. We were in a big hole, and that's why, you know, Barkley had to throw the ball 54 times yesterday. We were down. We had to get back in it, and that's, you know, the reason why the less than receivers were featured.
We'll get to the battle for the bottom bowl, which is coming up, the Niners versus the Bears. Before we get to that, it's stunning to me that we could be this deep in the season and talk about the Bears being involved in one of the least interesting games you could ever imagine on an NFL field.
How can you say that's not interesting?
That's not reason to change up everything. Nothing, just out of pride in the franchise. But anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to John Fox's future or lack thereof. We'll get to the lack of pressure from the defense. We'll get to the type of cleaning fluid Carm had to use to clean Hamp's head off the walls after it exploded in the postgame. We'll get to all of that. But, Dave, jump in here.
Well, how about Marquise Wilson's kick, though? How about the kick where he got the usher right in the butt?
Yeah.
I mean, after he dropped
it. It was solid.
Pass.
I'm not going to lie to you. It was solid. It was a one-hopper.
Maybe guys are just out of position.
It was a one-hopper, and he was able to kick it, and it went right into the usher's behind.
Did he get fined for that?
And then he did stop on a dime and he hugged the guy.
He did. He apologized.
Yeah. And Hamp, if there was one NFL highlight yesterday for you and for me, frankly, and others, it had to be the fact that Colin Kaepernick had a really rough day in Miami.
And we'll have lots of time to talk about, his presence this coming weekend. But back to that, Wilson kicking the ball, and he may be fined for kicking the ball, but he won't be fined for dropping it. That's how upside down this whole thing is.
Amen to that. Well said by you.
An animal!
Dan Hampt anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
7:49. I would say, Dave Ennett, the prevailing question has to be, is Jay Cutler done here? The boys covered it heavily as Dan Hampton rejoins us now. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. But, Dave Ennett, do you think Jay Cutler's done?
Well, I'm not sure. I thought so before the weekend, and now there are all these reports out there. The problem is that if he's not your quarterback next year, and granted that the Bears can release him, and it's a much more favorable situation for them from a salary cap standpoint than they faced in the past. But if you release him, then who's going to be your – is Matt Barkley going to be your quarterback next year?
The Matt Barkley era has begun.
Yeah. No, I think if you had a plan, if you had a guy ready who maybe you had drafted this year or last year or whatever, or you felt there was a quarterback out there you could get, that would be one thing. But who are you going to bring in?
Well, great starting quarterbacks don't fall off the tree, right?
No.
But you have to be able to find them, scout them, create them. You know, Dak Prescott was an afterthought. Now he's the best quarterback in football in some people's mind. So, Hamp, where are you on Jay Cutler?
Well, gentlemen, and again, I hate to say it, but Cutler has become one of the most divisive individuals in this town. He, there's a lot of people in the camp that, hey, he still has the talent and that can get you to a Super Bowl. And the other side is saying, hey, he's been here 8 years. He's been a bust out. And, we got to move on. All I know is he's had three different head coaches. He's had six different offensive coordinators. He's never really, truly, other than Brandon Marshall, had a rapport with a receiver that he could develop. There's been a lot of people come and go out at that position. And so there's a lot of reasons to say, well, as good as we thought he would be, it never materialized. But I'll tell you this. If the Bears rescinded their offer next year, I think he'll – if we bring him back – it'll be $18 million. If we let him go, it'll only cost $2 million. But, I know that everybody thinks Barkley was, the second coming yesterday. But Tennessee, the chronic weakness of their team is the secondary, in particular the corners. They backed them off. They were 7-8 yards deep. Our receivers were basically running 7-on-7. It was pitch and catch. They had basically melded in. They had a big lead. And we're not going to be able to, see that against the 49ers. They're going to be a lot more aggressive. They're going to be a lot more press coverage. But all those things being said, there's a lot of different ways to go about it. But your point, Mr. Cat, is guess what? It's like the couple that never prepares for retirement. Now they're 70 and they're like, okay, what are we going to do? Well, the Bears have never prepared for life without Cutler. And although Connor Shaw, who we saw, break his leg or had his leg broken in the last preseason game, has what I think are some real interesting upside intangibles. you know, I don't know how you can't go into next season without Jay Cutler. And here's the thing. There's only one backup in the entire NFL that I think I would even be interested in, and it would be a little bit of a reclamation project, is a kid in Kansas City, Nick Foles. And he was a revelation 3 years ago in Philly, and now he can't even get on the field. So, you know, you're right. It's a strange animal, this quarterback deal. I don't know, you know, where they come from, but very few players have what Cutler has. And, you know, I got to tell you, I went back and watched that Giant game, and Cutler was, I mean, he was throwing the ball. The last throw, he slipped and came up short, and that was the interception that, you know, obviously sealed our fate. But for him to say all of a sudden, no, I've got a bad shoulder, there's going to be, you know, Jay Cutler may say, I don't want to be here next year. So this is a strange brew, and there's going to be a lot of twists and turns. But here's the one thing that I do know. John Fox has shown that through it all, this team has no idea of how to find a way to win. And we hear it every week. Oh, well, it wasn't good enough, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was a winnable game yesterday. If we did some different things the week before against the Giants, we're driving with a chance to win the game. And, you know, time and time and time and time again this year, you know, 9 losses. Yeah, I mean, sooner or later, you got to start figuring out what's the constant. Well, you know, I know Trestman only lasted 2 years. Well, John Fox's record is a lot worse than Trestman's.
I mean, I guess that's sort of my point, Hamp, is that if you're going to look at this team objectively and try to figure it out and put the emotion of the quarterback situation aside, there are a lot of problems bigger than Jay Cutler coming back to the Bears next year. And you have to have somebody, you mentioned Nick Foles. Weren't Nick Foles and weren't he and Barkley in Philadelphia at the same time?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, for Chip Kelly, the guy we're going to face this weekend. So, I mean, it's bizarre. I think what you're trying to identify is if you don't fix the offensive line, if you don't have a competent one or two tight ends, if you don't have receivers that you can count on to run hard, proper timing routes where – any quarterback can have confidence in where they're going to be at the right time. You know, go back to the first play of what was it, the Giant game, when Alshon Jeffery quit on a slant route for the first interception. Everybody kind of glossed over that, but Cutler threw the ball where it was planned to go. And guess what? The receiver didn't fight hard enough to get to where
right.
The ball was. So those are all these different questions. But guess what? This offensive line and the two tackles were the only remaining starters from opening day that were on the field for the offense, the entire offense yesterday. But unless you fix that offensive line, then you're going to have 3 or 4 more quarterbacks. You have to stack them up like cordwood because they're going to get broken arms and broken legs.
Which is why you don't bring Tony Romo in, because Tony Romo's made of the same material that Derrick Rose is made of, and Tony Romo would be dead in 2 weeks.
He would. And, you know, guess what? Denver is everybody. I watched Denver last night. Kansas City butchered their offensive line. So we're not the Lone Ranger, but all I can tell you is when you decide to fix the offensive line like Dallas did, like the Redskins did, you know, you start seeing the same guy at quarterback game after game after game.
The thing that frustrates me as a Bears fan, and I know I beat this drum every time we talk, but I don't see the anger. I don't see the passion. I don't see the frustration with losing. And I wish all professional athletes would hear this. And I got to tell you something. I know I'm a Blackhawk nut, but the Blackhawks, when they have these mini dips, nobody is going around saying, hey, we got it all figured out. The captain's standing up and saying, this is beneath us. This is not who we are. We're going to fix this. You want passion from the people you're paying to see perform. And I don't see passion on this team. And it's not Cutler's fault. Cutler is who he is. He may be one of the great unrealized promises in NFL history. But the fact is, there's no passion from the coach all the way down. Who cares enough on this team to make a difference, to beat San Francisco, or to turn this thing around?
And it's a great observation. It's part of my frustration. And people go, well, boy, you're a lot more upset than any of those guys, which is ludicrous. But the reason the Blackhawks react like that is the same reason why they've been three-time Stanley Cup champions. They have a burning desire to be great.
Right.
You know what? We don't. We've got a bunch of people, players, that are real content being on the roster, getting a paycheck, hanging out in the nightclub, or showing up at an appearance. And we need people that can't live with losing. That was the thing. I couldn't live with losing. And guess what? There's a lot of other guys that couldn't live with it either. And you get enough of them together, you change things. But first and foremost, you cannot deny that Quenneville does not set a certain tempo and a creed that the rest of the team either duplicates or they
don't play. They don't play. If you don't have passion on that team, you don't play. If you don't play hard at every shift, you don't play.
Yeah, well, and guess what? And they know if they don't, they're going to be in Winnipeg. Well, guess what? The coach is setting the tempo of
right.
Bears, which is main thing is make sure you don't pull anything before Tuesday when the checks come.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, when you reach out, don't get a paper cut from the envelope. All right. So the last question, prediction wise, has nothing to do with the score. Does Fox finish the season, Dave Ennett?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would have to agree. I don't see any reason to get rid of him now. Make him earn his money for the rest of the year. Hamp?
You know, the amazing thing about this is, you know, and this is what, back to the quarterback. Everybody goes, Jay Cutler sucks. I said, okay, all right, who you got? You got Peyton Manning? You know, who you got? Yeah. Well, the thing is, when you fire a coach, a lot of times you think, okay, well, now what? They got the perfect guy, Vic Fangio, who should be an NFL head coach, on the roster. If they want to pull the trigger.
No, that's true.
Turn this thing around. They got the right guy waiting in the wings. And think about this. One last point. Mike McCoy coached for Fox in Denver. He was the offensive coordinator. He's won 5 out of 6 head coach of the San Diego Chargers. How about Adam Gase, the coordinator last year? He's won 6 in a row down in Miami. How about Jack Del Rio? He's got the Raiders at 9-2. First time in 20 years they have, you know, led the division. All these coaches that were under Fox are now individually having success as head coaches. While Fox, what I'm saying is, I wonder who was really doing the heavy lifting up in Denver.
Well, exactly. And here's the bottom line. Bears fans deserve better. So you can see these guys along with hear these guys. They're on CLTV with every post game. And the battle for the bottom is this weekend.
Noon Sunday.
Yeah. And I'm telling noon. You, market it that way. I'm telling you right now. Hamp, great work as always. Nice talking to you and happy Thanksgiving weekend. And we'll stop saying that now.
No, it's time just to say Merry Christmas and go Bears. Thank you, guys.
That's exactly right. And ChevyDriveChicago.com brings you Dan Hampton. The news is next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
8:14, Dean Richards joins us now. Good morning, Dean. How are you? Hello, Dean. Hello. Hello.
Hold on. Can you hear me?
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Welcome back.
You're on the wrong thing.
Story of my life.
thank you, and condolences on the loss of your friend Florence Henderson.
Oh.
The loss of all of our
friends.
We're
all sad at the death of Florence Henderson.
Mrs. Brady, who was on Dancing with the Stars 10 minutes ago.
She was on just a week ago today.
Yeah.
She was there supporting Maureen McCormick and performed on the show herself.
Yeah.
And did, obviously, the Brady Bunch from 1969 to 74.
Most famous, though, for making out with you during a news story.
Well, she was. In 2008, she was here in Chicago doing a play.
Making Out With You. That was what the play was called, Making Out With Dean.
They invited her over to the Aaron Waters Show to sing the national anthem to start. So we had
her. Where she made out with Dean.
We had her on the morning show. We were out on the lakefront.
That's where you made out when the sun was coming up.
And, you know, the sun is coming up. It's a beautiful morning.
Yep.
You know, it's
one thing leads to another, and suddenly it's Nookieville.
It's romantic and da 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 da. Here's the story.
Oh, Dean's three boxes were empty.
Again, story of my life.
I've met her a few times. She couldn't have been nicer.
She was very, very nice. Very incredibly talented, very nice.
Really talented. You know, she hosted the Tonight Show at 28.
She was the first woman to guest host the Tonight Show.
Yeah, like 1962 or 63. She's 28 years old.
Everyone thinks it's Joan Rivers, but she was actually the first. She won, here in Chicago, won this Sarah Siddons Award, big theater award for appearing in The Sound of Music. Back in 1962, appeared here in Chicago many, 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 many times. She was, one of the times that I saw her in Chicago was when Carol Burnett's play came out called Hollywood Arms that Carol Burnett's daughter had written. Carol Burnett's daughter had passed away before the show ever got to the stage. And a lot of Carol Burnett's close friends came into Chicago for it. Tim Conway sitting over like across the aisle, Florence Henderson, happened to be there as well, and they left an open seat with a feather boa on it because Carrie Hamilton, Carol's daughter, liked feather boas.
Wow.
So they left one seat just with a feather boa on
it. That's a nice touch.
That was really sweet. But this is a little of Carol Brady and I making out on the lakefront.
Here we go.
Beautiful morning here on the lakefront at North Avenue Beach. Just got more beautiful for me. Florence Henderson, Carol Brady, the Brady Bunch is here with us today. We have fallen in love in the last few minutes, and we'll be announcing our engagement a little bit later on. It's great to have you here in Chicago. You're going to be singing the national anthem to kick everything off.
I am this afternoon around 2:45, I think, before Bill Murray does his historic jump. I'm going to sing and say a very special prayer for Bill.
Said as only Carol Brady can, as the protective mom. Now, you actually went up in one of the planes yesterday.
Right? I had a blast, Dean. I went out with the Lima Lima boys, and we were out over the lake. We were doing all kind of maneuvers. I had seat belts. I had a parachute. I mean, it was really, really exciting.
It's a real pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Dean. Well, now that we're engaged.
Oh, right on the lips.
There it is.
That's my woman.
There it is, right on the lips, baby.
Tell you what, you were all hands in that piece. For people that weren't watching or haven't seen it yet this morning on Channel 9.
She gives me a big kiss on the lips, and I dipped her over, and I planted one right back on her.
Right, and then Alice came out and cleaned up around you.
Alice, the end dust, it burns.
She's well, sweet. It's, you know, we had two celebrity deaths, and I don't know if they come in threes. I don't know who the third one is because it's Fidel Castro, Mrs. Brady, and who?
Ron Glass.
Yeah. I
mean, you know who Ron Glass is. He played Lieutenant Harris on the old Barney Miller show. He's the African-American
great characters on that show. I mean, really tightly drawn characters.
Yep.
And he was great because he was sarcastic and funny. And that Barney Miller to me is one of the great underrated sitcoms. I mean,
absolutely.
I know it's always included on top 50 all-time lists and things like that, but it was so well written.
There's one of the episodes, we have a little clip of the famous hash brownies episode.
Yep.
Where, like a radio station, if food shows up, people will eat it no matter what it is. It doesn't make any difference. Some brownies showed up at the precinct. And all of the detectives started eating these brownies that had been laced with hashish. This is a little clip featuring the late Ron Harris.
I think there's something in these things. Have you had any?
He's out, Barn. I mean, he and Fish and he.
They're just, all the detectives were just completely stoned.
And Abe Vigoda whacked out on weed is a pretty entertaining image.
The Jack Wu, the actor, he was hilarious.
Right.
Barney Miller goes up to him and said, did you have any of these brownies? And he just leans into his ear, like nuzzling into his ear. And he goes, mushy, mushy, mushy. It's so funny.
And you know that wasn't the first take. They must have tried a bunch of different things.
Oh, man, that was hilarious.
Ah, very
interesting. So he was 71, died of respiratory failure. Florence Henderson, 82 years old. God bless her.
She had a great run. She looked fabulous.
She sure did.
Yeah.
She sure did.
Still to come, Bruce Springsteen's in town today, if you owe him money. Star Wars information on the new movie about to come out. Anthony Michael Hall jailed, and the Soul Train Awards were last night. We'll be back because you can bet your last money it's all going to be a stone gas, honey. And as always, imparting, I wish you love and peace and
soul.
Did
I ever tell you my first job was on Soul Train?
You did, but you'll tell me again in a second. It's 8:20.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
8:25 now, 9 o'clock this morning. This show will be simulcast on CLTV.
Oh, yeah.
So it starts this morning and every day, and Rokan and Anna every afternoon at 3, the 3 o'clock hour. So
I can't wait. What are you wearing?
Same thing I'm always wearing, chaps and a flight cap. that was an old Tom Waddle joke, wasn't it?
I believe it was. But it works for you.
It's an odd look for me. There's no
and we also gave Nick something out of context. What are you wearing?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, sure, why not?
Somebody write that down. 8:25 if you're checking for Nick.
Now, I know you're a Star Wars nut. What are your feelings on this new movie that has none of the Star Wars people in it?
It's the first standalone in this series, so I'm really curious to see what they're going to do. You know, they're kind of focus in on... It's not the main Star Wars trilogy, but they focus in on portions, like little add-ons, addendums, if you will. And this one is set roughly between episodes 3 and 4.
And this is called Doesn't George Lucas Already Have Enough Money?
Is
that the one?
Called The Disney Company Bought the Whole Star Wars Franchise. They definitely have enough money, but have figured out how to make even more on it. It's called Rogue One, a Star Wars story, and it's a group of rebels who are trying to steal the plans for the dreaded Death Star that we know from the other Star Wars movies.
The problem with the Death Star is you hire the contractor to build the Death Star, right? And they tell you they're coming on a particular day. Yep. They get caught on another job.
Right.
Maybe they get over when they say they are, maybe they're not. The Death Star gets way behind, and suddenly you've got to wreak evil and havoc on the rest of the universe, and you don't have a Death Star.
Got to blow up a couple of planets to make your point. Hey, you told me you were going to be here between noon and 4 p.m.
Right.
Where are you? You're
right.
not even here yet.
I need this Death Star done. Can you commit to a finish date?
And that's why a group of rebels took matters into their own hands with this. So I'm going to see the movie this weekend. I'm actually going to go to the Lucas Ranch in Northern California.
Do they know you're coming?
No, they do not. I'm going to see the movie. I'm going to interview the cast.
Hello, it's Dean.
Housekeeping.
George Lucas goes, turn the lights off. Pretend we're not home.
Hey, wait a minute. When we lived in Chicago, wasn't that the guy who showed up at our wedding and said he was in housekeeping?
How great would that be? You just show up at George Lucas's house.
No.
Why are you going to be at his ranch?
We're going to do the interviews. I'm going to interview the whole cast at the ranch.
Wow.
Interview the cast. They're going to get a big tour of the place. I've never been. I'm very excited.
Where is this, in Montana?
It's in Northern California. It's just outside of...
How the hell did I get Montana? I guess because you said ranch.
Right. That sounds very ranchy.
Yeah, it does.
Northern California.
Do you like ranch dressing?
I love ranch dressing.
All right, let's continue.
I enjoy ranch
dressing. Bruce Springsteen's in town today?
He enjoys ranch dressing. Everyone knows that.
That's one of the things. Remember his album, Dressing? Where he just did songs about various salad dressings? I loved blue cheese.
Yep.
Blue Cheese in the Moonlight, wasn't that it?
I love Blue Cheese in the Moonlight. I loved dancing in one of the Thousand Islands.
Right, 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 right. I'll love you forever in Roquefort.
I love you, honey mustard.
Some of this is just for the two of us. Why is Bruce Springsteen in town?
It'd be a great album concept, though, if every song was named
after Weird
salad,
Al did it.
If salad dressing would be fantastic.
I'm an idea man. You know that.
So Springsteen has a new book out right now that's called Born to Run.
Yeah. I hear it's great, by the way.
The book is supposed to be amazing, and he's going to select cities around the country.
And we've been selected?
We are among the select cities.
Oh, good for us.
For that, it's a bookstore which is not far from where you are at this moment, Steve. It's the bookstore which is on Adams right near Clark. That's called Books A Million Bookstore.
Adams and Clark. Yeah, I can't get over there.
144 South Clark. Maybe Bruce can swing by the
showcase. He should definitely do that.
That would be nice. He's going to be signing his books today from noon to 2, but you got to have a ticket to get in. The tickets sold out in like 3 minutes last week. So,
well, he says noon to two, but like everything with Springsteen, he'll be there for 4 hours.
4 hours, like all of his shows. So if you go over there, Leo, I'm sure you'll at least get a peek of him. But
I don't have that kind of time.
1,200 people only will be allowed to get into the room. Oh, the reason that we brought up Rogue One Star Wars before, also tickets for that. The movie doesn't open till December 16th, but tickets for that also went on sale today. So two kind of big. If you're a fan of the Star Wars, probably a good idea to get your tickets today. If you're a fan of Springsteen, that's where he's going to be today. And what else? Oh, the Star Wars Soul Train Awards.
Yes,
were last night in Las Vegas, and your girlfriend Beyonce cleans up last night. She takes four,
and I think we can agree she cleans up real good.
She cleans up real good. Wins Song of the Year, Video of the Year, Album of the Year, Best R&B Soul Female Artist of the Year. Maxwell, named after the famous street, won Best R&B Soul Male Artist of the Year. Chance the Rapper wins Best New Artist of the Year. And Kanye West won Best Dance Performance of the Year.
Kanye West could be seriously ill. I mean, he's got some pretty dire issues, right?
He does. They put him in the hospital last Saturday because he was acting erratically. But insiders are saying that it's practically a nervous breakdown. I mean, that's why we've made fun of him and we've joked about him.
The jokes are over now.
I think that, this is kind of serious. So
and it sounds a phone diagnosis, a diagnosis from afar is always dangerous and foolish, but the symptoms sure look like bipolar disorder. It and sure I does. Don't know yeah. if he's been tested. Or medicated, but anybody that flies at the level he flies at, claiming he's God and the various other things, and then goes into a deep depression, that's kind of textbook. So I wish him the best, obviously.
Kim Kardashian reportedly has been at his side in the hospital since he went in last Saturday, is feeding him, has to feed him
wow.
food. So
yeah, it's not funny.
It's seriously. In the meantime, though, the Chicago rapper Rhymefest has bought Kanye West's childhood home on the South Side, 7800 block of South Shore Drive, and he's going to turn that into kind of a
museum,
a place for kind of not exactly a museum. He's calling it an incubator to fuel creativity.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
So, like a place for young people to come. He's already involved in Donda's House, which was created by Kanye West's mother.
What's well, a nice legacy
to,
for her.
Yeah, to encourage young people in the arts. So this is kind of the next step with that.
The rappers all have very specific names. I'll let you go on this. But wouldn't it be great if some rapper came along and he was a big star and his name was Phil? it was just Phil. Dave the rapper. That kind
of
thing.
Yeah, not even the rapper. Just Dave.
Dave. It's
just,
Dave.
Just plain old Dave.
Dave's in a hizzy.
That's why I got rid of my rapper name, Baldy D. I changed it. That's why I went back to Dean. I wanted to step out from the rest. Step out, if you will.
All right, we're going to be killing you in the ratings starting at 9 o'clock today.
I'm going to be one of the people watching.
Channel 9 might as well shut it down as the Steve Cochran Show puts the 9 o'clock hour out
I'll
of business.
I'll be watching the CLTV. Now, do we get to see you during the breaks also?
That's when I plan on doing my...
Oh, wait, when you go to a commercial on radio, it'll also be a commercial on TV.
I don't know. I'm planning on doing a shirtless rain dance then. So if it rains this afternoon, you'll know I did it.
I can't wait to see that. Be the first shirtless person. Well, not the first.
No, good God. What show are you on? That's Dean Richards. We'll see you later. 8:43, Jim Ryan from ABC News standing by. He's live in Cuba. Of course, historic developments occur. Did you notice, by the way, somebody sent me this. Fidel Castro, champion of communism and socialism, dies on Black Friday. Oh, he must have hated that completely. I mean, come on. Jim, what is the mood in the streets? Is it subdued? I know they're in a period of mourning now.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. There is an official period of mourning that's underway. A line has formed now around the Great Square, just a couple of blocks from where I am. People walking past the urn that contains the remains of Fidel Castro. He was cremated immediately after his death over the weekend. But around town, it's business as usual. People are opening up their shops now. They're going about their lives as they normally would. And if you ask them how they're feeling about things, I think they're more preoccupied with making a living, with feeding their families, than they are about the bigger picture of politics. Although I think there is a sense of hope that things may improve somewhat over the next year, Steve.
Raul Castro, his younger brother, is 85, I believe. And he's planning on stepping down in 2018, and the vice president would be next in line. Is it too early to figure out if that's going to hold?
It is too early. You're right. I mean, that's 2 years away, and he may decide he wants to stay on, Raul Castro might. But suffice it to say that if he does leave, I think his successor would be handpicked by him and probably having been chosen by Fidel Castro before his death. So, you know, in terms of policy, maybe things won't change much, although under Raul Castro, you've seen things ease up just a bit, Steve. The travel restrictions between the U.S. and Canada have been loosening somewhat. The first commercial flights come into Havana today. And so things do seem to be lightening up just a bit. But still, there are deep social issues here.
Jim Ryan's live in Havana on the death of Fidel Castro. Obviously, this was not unexpected. He was a 90-year-old man. But having said that, many dictators have these godlike images among certain people. This is actually an educated population. So I don't think they held him in godlike status, did they?
Not really. I don't think they did. Maybe some of the older people did. And among some folks, I think it wasn't godlike reverence that they had for him as much as it was fear of his administration and,
right.
and of the government as a whole. So as you see, if I stand here in this square, in the San Francisco Plaza, there are posters, flags flying, flags draped over the banisters, the railings up there above, and pictures of Fidel Castro. So there is kind of that stature, I think, that he holds among a lot of people, although they see now that he was human, Steve.
The ABC News banner doesn't allow you to hide, and media generally is watched very carefully there. Do you feel like someone's got an eye on you while you report?
No, not really. And, you know, maybe I'm just being naive. I think that there were some guys kind of hanging around a little while ago, and whether they were looking at me or looking at the ABC News complex that's here in the square, it's hard to say. But, you know, that I suspect is happening. Phone calls perhaps are being monitored, and if you say the wrong thing, it's likely to be shut off.
The people of Cuba, optimistic, regardless of Fidel, at least a little bit. I know you referenced that, you know, you got to be hopeful for change, but it sounds to me like I guess it's more of a day-to-day thing, right? Just get up, go to work.
Exactly, right, and deal with whatever comes, whatever streets are closed, whatever potholes are in those streets, or you know, however long the lines are to get food. And so, yeah, I think people are more concerned with scratching out their lives here and maybe hoping in the back of their minds that bigger change might be coming.
It's Jim Ryan live in Havana. How long is your stay there?
Not even sure. Could be a week, could be 2 days. They haven't really said yet. I know some folks are pulling out today. It's weird timing, Steve, because the death happened over the weekend. Friday, I guess, is when it happened. It was announced on Saturday, and the funeral isn't for another week. That's a long time to stay in one place.
No doubt about it. Thank you, as always, and stay safe. That's Jim Ryan from ABC News. Justin Trudeau has been the favorite new leader of the Internet. The Prime Minister of Canada, his father, Pierre, was the leader of Canada for many, many years. Justin Trudeau, good-looking, handsome young man, who, you know, outdoorsy type, a fun guy. Probably didn't check Wikipedia before he made this statement.
Do you think Fidel Castro was a dictator?
Yes. The fact is, Fidel Castro had a deep and lasting impact on the Cuban people. He certainly was a polarizing figure, and there certainly were significant concerns around human rights. That's something that I'm open about and that I've highlighted.
That is a follow-up to the original statement. The original statement was a little more complimentary. The problem with complimenting Fidel Castro is anybody that lived through the regime or didn't have an opportunity to say goodbye to their relatives who didn't live through the regime, there's no changing their image of Fidel Castro. And why would there be? He did bring education. But he brought education that was largely schools of indoctrination, along with making sure that everybody knew how to read and write. But these were schools by, of, and for Fidel Castro and the Fidel Castro message. He stole hundreds of millions of dollars for himself and his family and his mistresses and his brother and his people. He was horrific to the gay and lesbian community. And some things were held up just are statistically inaccurate. There is much talk of the fact that a mortality rate for infants, which was very, very, very good statistic cited by Cuba, was actually a jaded statistic because of forced abortions. In other words, if a doctor determined that you had a child that was going to be born that had a particular defect, the child would be killed. So there's no way to clean up that image, nor should there be. Fidel Castro was a thug, somebody who had direct impact of that. Will join us next hour. Yenny Alvarez is married to my friend Mark DiCarlo, and very talented woman, and very emotional about her Cuban heritage and whether or not we should be there or not. We'll talk to her after 9 o'clock. And CLTV joins us at 9 as well. Coming up.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This can't be good. The old football coach is on the phone.
Oh, no.
This is not the old ball coach like Steve Spurrier. This is the old football coach who seems to hate me. Let's go to the phone. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran.
You calling about the Bears?
Oh, who wants to talk about the Bears? They should rename them the Chicago Ukuleles.
Why?
Because they play with only four strings. You know, they replaced that sod in the middle of their field. You know why?
No, why did they
do it? They can't get the grass to root for them.
I was not aware of that. It was a bad game, wasn't it?
I watched like 10 minutes of it. I'm sick and tired of everybody getting hurt, getting... Well, what is this? What are these drugs they're taking? Give me a break. The first 15 years, I didn't even have a helmet. By the second half, I was down in a fifth of Jack and morphine.
The way they did it in the old days, Jack and morphine.
That's darn right.
That's exactly right.
They told me you was being on TV today.
Yeah, coming up here on CLTV in just a few minutes.
Oh, that must be great. Maybe if you eat makeup, you'll be pretty on the inside.
Wow. Well, that's just mean. That's mean. That's unnecessary. It's really unfortunate and wrong. So you don't think we should be on TV?
I don't watch. I don't listen. Just every day.
Right. Right. I understand. What did you do for Thanksgiving? Did you have fun?
Oh, yeah. I love Thanksgiving. That's my favorite time. I get together with my loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
Yeah. So I ate by myself.
Okay. All right. I understand. You know, it's an angry time in this country, and I wish you weren't so angry.
I ain't angry, Cochran. The holidays is coming up. Merry Christmas. Yeah, big Christmas.
You're not excited about it?
They shouldn't call it Christmas. They should call it Merry Shopping Mass.
That's what they probably should. All right, so what can I get you for Christmas?
You get me what I always want, Cochran. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and some potted meat and chewing tobacco.
Right. I'll be all over it. Happy holidays, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, whatever, Cochran.
He's very excited.
Why are you so nice to him?
Well, I feel it's the season. It's the season of giving. I always feel like he may have given me something while I was talking to him.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo! Ow!
Love that money.
Still trying to figure out who in my family tried to kill me on Thanksgiving. Had 12 people. One was the world's greatest grandchild, my first and only grandchild, Abigail Grace. She looks a little suspicious to me. She looks a little shady. And the last time I watched her, I cut her off at a certain amount of Cheerios. I'm just saying, anything's possible.
Think she was trying to teach you a lesson?
They're not actually Cheerios. They're these little dissolving puff things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I don't know. But
like, Dave, like when your kids and my kids are grown-ups now, but when your kids and my kids are growing up, we gave them beef jerky and a beer.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's what you gave them. John, you know that.
They ate everything. Yeah.
Mary, your kids are grown up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're fine.
But these little dissolving puffs. It was either that or my mom. My mom may have tried to kill me.
Why would she kill you?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she's in the insurance money somehow or her will. I don't know. But my throat started to close up, and I coughed for like an hour and a half.
A texter thinks that you have LPR, a type of acid reflux. And their doctor prescribed a Prilosec every day, and it worked.
I take 6-7 of Prilosec a day anyway, just to cover my normal diet. Kids follow along at home. Here's a couple of people, texters from the 312. Had to cancel dinner for 12 because my wife got bronchitis. And then, and this is one of the great separators between men and women, at 4 o'clock she decided I should make the whole dinner for the two of us. She wrote the notes out. He actually attached the timeline. Or at the time I had on a legal pad of what should you do. Is that a wife move or what? That is such a wife move. Listen, I'm down. You're going to have to take it from here. I know this is going to suck, but follow my instructions completely.
Let me see it.
No word on how the dinner turned out.
I can't really read it. It's
lower rack, 350.
In the timeline?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. Let's see.
My feeling is at 7 o'clock, this guy's probably still trying to figure out how to turn the oven on.
I wonder how that dinner turned out.
And then there's this from the 708, Thanksgiving, just another day at work, 11 hours at work. I went home to an empty house, opened a can of soup, popped some popcorn, and went to bed.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Kind of too bad. Yeah. Andrea Darlis off today. She'll be back tomorrow with her own Thanksgiving weekend story and something you should avoid. How about Cyber Monday talk? Elise Glink joins us now. And again, want to say welcome to the CLTV audience. We broadcast the 9 o'clock hour and simulcast the 9 o'clock hour every day on CLTV, and we're happy to be a part of their family. Elise, how are you?
Things are good. I'm still trying to digest the weekend's activities, for sure.
Yeah.
Like everybody else's.
You're not trying to kill me, are you?
No, not this week.
We're pretty sure that someone in the family is. We'll keep you up to date on that. Probably have some financial maneuvering I need to do. All right, so Cyber Monday, the biggest shopping day of the year now, bigger than Black Friday, yes?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a little bit bigger today. People are, not on the streets. I'm out on the streets today. I don't see any people out because they're all behind their computers or on their cell phones.
Right.
But actually, let's just talk about Black Friday for a moment, because the highs that they hit are giving some people a bit of a pause for Cyber Monday. And that's because 40 to 60% of sales on Black Friday were actually not even just done online. They were done on mobile. Mobile had a huge, huge day on Black Friday and over the weekend as well.
This is how Facebook crushed it with their stock in the last 2 years. Facebook had to figure out mobile. They did. They have a mobile platform, which is genius. Now, it'll suck the battery out of your phone in about 30 seconds, but it works brilliantly. And the rest of the world is trying to catch up. But mobile shopping between Amazon and Facebook leads, I mean, that's the whole business right there.
It is. It's the big four, as they like to say, sort of Amazon, Facebook, Google, and Apple. The big four are really driving sort of the mobile world at the moment. And some of the gifts that you're seeing that people are really out there buying, you know, most of it is digital, right? I know that you like to give your kids pajamas, but...
Where did that come from? I do gift pajamas, but no, I think I'm a pretty good gift buyer. This year, yours not so great, but in general, I'm a pretty good gift buyer.
Well, I'll take my lump of coal, but some of the best deals that are out there this year are all about Microsoft Surface Books, for example, or on Amazon, the Echo. They've got a new white Echo, a small Echo, a big Echo. You've got the 4K TVs that are a big deal right now, and they're expecting 122 million people to shop online today. And a lot of those purchases are going to be digital-type projects.
You know, I have the Echo, and there's a commercial running now that runs in sports in particular, and I watch a lot of sports, where the Echo gets commands throughout the commercial, and my Echo keeps firing off in the background because the TV's up. So if you turn around, stop, Echo, stop. So the Echo kind of has a mind of its own. Sometimes the Echo will go, are you sure you're going to wear that?
I've noticed that. We also got the Dot, which is the
little short version.
Companion to the, we have them both now.
Well, what's the Dot do?
No, it's just like the other one.
You put it in a different part of the house?
It's in a different room, yeah.
You're making too much money, man.
It's not, trust me, it's not too much money.
Do you know anything about the Microsoft Surface, Elise?
I think it looks really cool. I think they've got great commercials. I played around with one at Nordstrom. It has like a Microsoft shop when you walk right in on Michigan Avenue. And I took a look at it there. It looks like a really cool thing to play around with and to use. I haven't actually bought one yet, though.
Yeah.
I haven't gone that far.
Yeah, I'm going to look at them today, as a matter of fact. I still think you ought to go to the stores. I think there ought to be a law you have to go to the stores. You know, I know it's convenient. I think people need to support retail stores and retail people and all that. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of people looking for work.
Listen, I think one thing is to buy a Microsoft Surface tablet or computer online. It's another thing to buy a house online, and people are doing that in droves. And I'm like, don't you feel like you want to go walk the house and just kind of see how the walls are? But no, they don't.
Does it get lazier than buying a house online?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I don't have the energy to go look at the house. Can't you just get it online?
Well, I want to give some people just a couple of things to keep in mind, because one of the things that's happening that we're seeing more is in the wake of a Cyber Monday, you've got a lot more identity theft going on. So definitely keep your payments safe if you are shopping online today.
LifeLock.
Be very careful about that.
Yeah, do your LifeLock thing. John actually has a question for you. John DeCuss.
Well, no, I was going to make a comment. Amazon, shopping online is incredible. Friday, I had received 4 packages from Amazon, which was great because I plan on ordering a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, they do it before you. Yeah, before you've even thought of it, Amazon Prime stuff at your house.
Yeah. One-click shopping, it's the next generation.
Well, and for mobile, that's great, right? Because you can tell your kids you're not shopping in the car, you're not texting in the car, but you go, one click won't be a problem.
Right.
Well, one of the things that I think people don't realize is that Amazon has something called smile.amazon.com, which allows you to put in your favorite charity. And then if you buy through the smile.amazon.com link instead of just regular Amazon.com, a tiny fraction of that does get donated to the charity of your choice. And so that's kind of a nice little way to make yourself feel better about all that money going out today.
So you can you buy whatever you're going to buy, but you buy it through smile.amazon, and then that's how they kick back.
That's right.
Well, that's a cool idea. Why wouldn't you do it that way?
Does also a portion go into a tip jar?
Yes. 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 Yeah, for Lou in the back. Lou, the guy that's got to load the packages. Cyber Monday means that a lot of businesses are not operating at a normal business pace. Are companies lightening up on folks and saying, look, I know you're going to shop today. It's fine. Go ahead and do it.
I think that people really understand that a lot of that goes on. But a lot of people did, we've seen Cyber Monday throughout the weekend. And if you're at Amazon.com, every single day has this month had a special Cyber Monday type deal. If you go to CyberMonday.com, this is an aggregation site. And what they do is pull all of these deals together. And now we're seeing that certain deals are happening by the hour. So, for example, in the 10 o'clock hour today, Central Time, Home Depot has a special. 11 o'clock, Walmart has specials. 12 o'clock, Overstock.com has specials. So CyberMonday.com has some very interesting deals, and they aggregate them from everywhere across the web. And it kind of helps you with your shopping. So instead of, looking at 10,000 different websites, you can just go to one and kind of see where the best deals are.
Well, and Google alert it, right? I mean, if you put a specific item and set up a Google alert, it comes up in a news story and it hits your email. Or you could set up for text now as well, and then suddenly you've got something, and you can go to the store and you won't miss it.
I'm just going to throw this out there as somebody who's always worried about how much people are spending, because I know that January is such a tough month for people when they get the bills for the spending. Just kind of make a list of what you really want to buy today, because it's really easy. I found myself getting exactly that in the situation where I went for one specific thing online to a store. I'd been waiting for a dress that I'd really had my eye on to go sale. It went on sale for 40 off. Your legs, can we just talk about the shaving?
But the calves, you have to agree, are fantastic.
Phenomenal.
Right.
But, make a list, check it twice, and then really try not to get distracted by all the other stuff going on. There's a lot of noise today, and it's really easy to blow your budget early before Christmas comes.
Your kids are how old?
College, 18 and 21.
What are you buying them?
I don't know. We're all taking a really, really big trip at the end of the year, and I think that we're going to give them some money to spend on something special from this trip. We're going to South Africa.
Wow, safari?
exactly.
That's an expensive trip. But that'll be nothing but fun.
Well, between that and college tuitions, I would say that the gift selection is going to be a little focused on one small, very, very special thing that will help you remember this trip for a lifetime.
I'd recommend for one of them a big floppy hat and the other mosquito repellent, and they can share.
I think those are great ideas. We might do that.
It's Elise Glink. Where do we follow you?
ThinkGlink.com or on Twitter, @Glink.
Love it. Talk to you soon. That's Elise Glink, and we continue live on CLTV and here at 720 WGN 921. Back after this.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
924, Kid of the Week turns into Kid of the Year. And Dave and Mary are going to make the selection of Kid of the Year. Let me go to Samberg, producer on this. Samberg, are they doing this next week?
I think we are.
We are?
Yeah.
Well, don't you have to tell them when to do it?
I do, yes. Well, I was on break, so I couldn't get involved in that.
So what time is our meeting, Dave? We're going to have to, like...
Do you know, by the way, I was very careful about contacting you during the break. And it's not because I share your husband's viewpoint or others that they're afraid of you. It's just I was being respectful of your time.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I also noticed that you didn't check in with me during the break.
No, I believe I sent you one picture from the weekend going into the break. And
yes.
And then I went silent.
And that picture, I think, was sent to me. So you go, this will take care of him
for
a few days.
Tied him over for
a few
days.
Yeah, that way he won't contact me about any of this nonsense. All right, so they're going to get together in a room. And then when the rainbow-colored smoke comes out of the chimney, then we'll know that the Kid of the Year has been chosen.
Yes, and they will let me know.
So what is the date that we need to have a decision by? That's the big question.
Yeah, when's the deadline?
Then a week from Tuesday?
Two weeks from tomorrow? Yeah.
It's a week from tomorrow.
The end of the year. We still got like 3 weeks.
Well, Mayor, if we want to go over the calendars and when people are here and aren't here, we can't.
December's tough. As you know, I'm taking the entire month off. All right, so that's part one of this particular segment that you guys will be working on that.
Are you worried about a great kid getting in under the wire that's going to take...
Oh, we got another kid tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we have a kid tomorrow. Yeah. Yes.
Well, if they miss the deadline for this, they will go into the next year.
Speaking of great kids, Phoebe Brown found a lottery ticket on the ground and found out the lottery ticket was worth a lot of money. And what do you think she did with it?
She turned it into the proper authorities.
Or the store it was bought from.
Why do you have such faith in this kid? Maybe this kid's a weasel and kept the money for herself.
I don't know.
Well, she's probably not old enough to collect the winnings. So
Turns out she gave it back. Stepped over a lottery ticket, sees it, grabs it, says, Mom, it's a winner. And the mom said, no, it wasn't. They looked back, and the ticket was worth $100. She took it to the people at the store nearby, and they found the rightful owner.
Wow.
I don't know how, but at that point, he did. Because the guy comes in and goes, that ticket, that was mine. That was my lottery ticket. So Kid of the Week. We'll get you a Kid of the Year coming up. There's another big news story this week that we haven't talked about, and I asked Samberg to sit in on this because she's in love with Tiger Woods.
Oh, I am. Well, yes, I am in love with him, but not in the sense of wanting to date or anything.
I don't think Tiger dates.
I'm married.
So. But you're in love with him as a golfer.
Yes. Oh, his career. He's a Capricorn, and we're the same age, and so my career has mirrored his. But I've.
Do you have a trophy room?
No, I do not.
Probably should. Yeah. But Tiger's back this week at the World Challenge. Where Dave, give me some details on this.
The Hero World Challenge. It will be played in the Bahamas.
Yeah. This used to be the Target World Challenge, right? And it was played actually at a Target. It was at a Target in Schaumburg.
And they all wore red tops and khaki pants.
Right. Right, exactly. So he's playing for the first time since, his last competitive round was in the spring of 2015.
Wow. And he's actually playing this time, not like the false alarm we had 2 months ago playing.
Well, this is one at one of his homes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of his event.
And here's the question I'd ask you and Mary. If you had access and you had a girlfriend who was looking for the right guy, and, Tiger's single, would you hook him up?
My sister is single.
Mm-hmm. All right, the perfect question. Would you connect your sister to Tiger Woods?
I would.
For the access to Tiger?
No, I think that he, as he said in that interview with Charlie Rose, he regrets nothing. He learned some things, and so I think he maybe won't.
No, he said his biggest regret in his life was not staying an extra year at Stanford.
This is true.
Not having 18 girlfriends, but not staying an extra year at Stanford.
But I think Lindsey Vonn came out of their relationship okay. I mean, her problem is
she still loves him.
She can't stay healthy, but
crashing.
Yeah, there were no scars publicly anyway.
Yeah, I think he's good to go.
Mary, would you fix up your friends with Tiger Woods?
Oh, I don't know. He seems a little screwed up once in a while.
The last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
Listen, it's good for golf. If he comes back, it's good for golf.
It's great for golf.
Yeah, that's
It's the golf world absolutely needs it. Which brings me to my last point. Congratulations to the folks at Wilson right here in town. Remember we had Tim on from Wilson for the Driver versus Driver show on the Golf Channel? They just rolled out that new driver for the big Black Friday Thanksgiving shopping weekend, and they crushed it. It's beautiful.
It looks really cool.
Did you see it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I stopped by and saw it yesterday.
That show was really good. They should do that for multiple clubs.
I think there's a chance it's going to come back. Yeah. Dave, do you have another selection? Maybe a chipper versus chipper?
Oh, that's
putter
not a bad
versus
idea.
Putter?
Yeah. How
about beer that? Cart girl versus beer cart girl?
I think that's been done.
Yeah, that's another channel. All right, 9:30, still to come. We'll talk with Yenny Alvarez, who is a first-generation Cuban, she'll be on the show to talk about her parents and talk about how she feels about the death of Fidel Castro and whether or not the Trump presidency ought to maintain what the Obama presidency started. Commercial flights to Havana start today. And John DeCoste has apparently a big promotional item he's going to roll out for our New Year's Eve show coming up as well as we continue on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
For so many of us whose families have been imprisoned, have been tortured, have seen the destruction of Cuba that Fidel Castro carried out, it is thankful that he is no longer with us.
Similar sentiments from Marco Rubio, but not everybody. We talked a little bit earlier about how some people, in my view, have gotten this thing with Castro completely wrong. He was a thug. He was a dictator. He was a murderer. And joining me on the telephone now is my friend Yenny Alvarez, who can speak to this much more directly because it's her family. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you? Good morning. Good glorious morning.
And nice to talk to you. I know this is something that you had to have a whole mix of emotions on, but where were you Friday when you heard?
I was in a comedy show, and my cousin is calling me, and I don't understand it. She's calling Mark, and she's calling me, and I'm texting her saying, I'm at a show. What are you doing? Stop right. texting. What's going on? I thought something went wrong. And she suddenly texts, Fidel se murió. Fidel has died. And I showed the text to Mark, and we went, and we ran out of there, started calling all our friends. We're going to go out. We're going to have a drink. It was such a mix of emotions. It was such a roller coaster. I was crying. I was laughing. I didn't know how to feel. All these things, all this angst and nostalgia that you feel for your people, your
sure.
country. You know how much you've suffered through all these years, everything he made your family and every family go through. We had to leave that country because of all the oppression, because of all the horrible things this man did, because we couldn't even think for ourselves because he wouldn't allow us to.
The thing that always stuns me when people go, well, the literacy rate, the medical community, the doctors that were created, people went into shark-infested waters, in some cases yeah. floating in old refurbished cars that they turned into yeah. boats to try to survive to get to Miami. Listen, if life was so good under Fidel, you're not going to risk your life with the sharks.
Exactly. And when people talk about the literacy rate and the baby mortality rate and all those numbers are doctored, talk about that word.
Yeah, yeah.
All those numbers are the numbers that they want to give out. It's all propaganda. Nothing that comes out of that island from that regime is to benefit anyone else but themselves. Yes, there were doctors created. Doctors get paid less than taxi drivers. They get paid like $30
a
month.
It's true.
Can you survive on $30 a month? You know what I say to the people that say that Cuba's fantastic? Oh, the literacy rate. Yeah, you go to school for free, but if you want to be a painter and that year they need plumbers, guess what? You're going to be a plumber.
Right. And also the schools were indoctrination camps for everything
Absolutely.
Fidel.
From the moment that you go into your first school, your responses to one another, your hello to one another is pioneros por el comunismo, seremos como el Che, pioneers for communism, we will be like Che. And that was the expected hello and response.
It's terrifically sad because we all know how beautiful Cuba is by way of pictures and things of that nature, films. But mm-hmm. we played a big part of this in the 50s in the way we supported organized crime and the way we supported Batista prior to it. But this is 60 years down the road. Time's now for a change for the Cuban people to actually have the freedom that they should have had decades and decades ago and always had. So are you optimistic on any level, or does Raul have to go as well?
I am, Steve. I am celebrating. I am celebrating a new beginning for my country and hopefully a new beginning for all its people. not just the elite that get the medicine and get,
sure,
you know, get the get to go into the to the great doctors, not just them, not just the tourists that see the beautiful side of Cuba, not the rest of the island that's not a tourist attraction. I'm hopeful that Raul will start doing something that now his brother can't take back.
Right. Right, because
I'm hopeful that maybe we'll go in there, and yeah, we may lose a little bit, but even if there's a McDonald's in a corner, you know what? There's going to be people working in there. There's going to be people getting paid. There's going to be people. Not things are not going to be only government owned.
No, no, you'll have a chance to look. Socialism and
to do something other than wait for the government to give you a handout, which they don't, by the way, because $30 a month for a doctor is not anywhere near something that you can survive on.
Yeah, and socialism and communism does not work. And the biggest murderous thugs in history are communist dictators. It's historical. It's factual. Yeah. You can't deny it. So
and
will
he's
you?
One of the richest people. Well, he was
right.
One of the richest people in the world, and his country is starving.
Right.
How is that any good for anybody except the elite that say, "Oh, Cuba's so wonderful. I studied Fidel for years in college." Well, you know what? Talk to somebody that lived it. You want to talk about that dream? Go talk to somebody that had to leave everything behind, that everything was taken away from, that threw themselves out to sea in shark-infested water, pitch black,
right,
that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face to get out of a country like that.
Well, that's the end of that story, right? Because you either go into shark-infested waters or you're caught trying to do it and you're thrown in prison. That doesn't
Absolutely.
Sound like somebody that wants to stay. All right, I know we're going to run out of time here, but when we talked about this summer, and your lovely and talented husband, Mark DiCarlo, and I talked about it, and we talk about it from a perspective of those who don't know what you know, are you inclined to go back now at some point and see your homeland, your you know, the country of where you were born?
I am.
And,
I am.
And those plans will come together whenever they come together. But, I mean, it feels good to hear you say that because I think it's important for you.
It's so cathartic. It's our my German friends are calling me and texting me and saying, "Oh, my God, this is your Berlin Wall." And Mark,
wow,
the first
great.
Thing he said was, "Wow, this is I know it's a little more trivial, but this is my Cubs." For him, it was all about the Cubs, and it was all these emotions and things that happened in 108
sure.
years. And we had to wait all these years also for Fidel to, you know, finish that monstrous regime. And it's so cathartic, and it's so there's so many emotions in this, and I'm celebrating a new wave for Cuba, and I'm hopeful and I'm optimistic, and you know, can't we all just get along?
Well, God bless you. I couldn't be happier for you and for this development. And by the way, anybody goes, "Well, you shouldn't celebrate somebody dying." We're not talking about somebody. We're talking about Fidel Castro in the same way we were talking about Osama bin Laden and every other thug that's come down the pike
and
ruins.
We're talking about the end of some sort of weird human rights violation regime dictatorship.
Yeah. Yeah, an awful person.
Hell yeah, I'm celebrating something like that going away.
Amen.
About freaking time. May he rot in hell.
All right, so we follow you on Twitter where?
Yenny Alvarez or Mark DiCarlo.
Yenny Alvarez or Mark DiCarlo. All right, love you. Hold on. That's Yenny Alvarez and Mark DiCarlo, our friends from the show. She's a very talented woman. She's a big TV star internationally for a long time and does great voiceover work and still far too good for Mark DiCarlo.
And you hear it from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, that's her family. That's her life. That's her country that her parents left. While risking their lives.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
All right, 9:53, Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. Again, thanks to the folks at CLTV. We will do the 9 o'clock hour every day on this show on CLTV, and we're happy to be a part of the CLTV family. You would have thought the CLTV family would have invited us over for Thanksgiving.
Yes. Well, but then you had the
maybe next
allergy
year.
Thing going.
Maybe next year, possibly.
I was there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. But thanks to CLTV. And this afternoon at 3, Roe Khan with Anna DeVlantis, with Zippy Canoodle. What is her name?
Violetta
Padromedic.
Or pomegranate is what somebody calls it.
Violetta is very sweet. She's very nice. And Violetta. And Kevin Powell? We love Kevin.
I don't know if Kevin, he doesn't come in every day.
He just shows up when he wants to. I did not know that. This afternoon at 3 o'clock. Sandberg, you've been in touch with the CLTV people. How do we feel the hour went?
I think they think it's been great.
How do you feel?
I feel subpar. Well, we don't look good enough. What do you think?
Subpar means it's a good show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have really high standards.
It's a tough grading system.
Yeah, I was going to say about Kevin and Violetta, they were on this weekend.
Yeah, they did a show. But you know what? Saturday they did a show. Night. Here's the thing. David Plyer has a successful career, runs a company, and he's on at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. You know who should be on at 2 o'clock in the morning? A couple of millennials.
Kevin and Violetta. That's right.
Kevin and Violetta.
They covered her favorite Christmas songs. I believe it's posted on WGNradio.com. You can check it out there.
All right. So there was some nonsense. And
when I tune that in, do I look under Zippy Cadoodle?
No. It's under the regular name that she's given at birth.
Not Violetta. Her legal name.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly right. So nicely done by Kevin and Violetta. John DeCosta is here. John, you and I spend a lot of money on our big New Year's Eve show every year.
Yes.
And you apparently have come up with a new promotional opportunity.
Well, I did. You requested 6 weeks ago that I, in the promotion budget, and I went ahead and had it done and sent to us.
And what do you have?
Yesterday. I'm going to put it in the camera.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, John is...
What is he doing?
John is, yeah. Let me see. Let me flip over here so I can make sure you're focused on this.
That would not.
That's a little close.
It's a little
close. All right, sit in the chair. Go ahead, sit in the chair. No, say your chair.
My chair.
Yes, your chair. Want me to hold it for him?
Yeah. You know what? That's a good idea. Give it to Mary. Give it to Mary and hold it up for the camera. And you'll be able to see this incredible amount of money that we spend on promotion for New Year's Eve. What does the sign actually say?
It says tickets, 1 o'clock show, Crystal Lake, RouseCenter.org, or tickets for the 6 o'clock show, Downers Grove, ClassicCinemas.com.
I was afraid
it wasn't going to come today.
So
I was afraid that it would,
Still not working.
It's not working either? How's that?
Really.
Is that good?
Yeah. Not really. And I was afraid because
That's better.
It took 6 weeks, and then it showed up. I did not know I was supposed to send them, words.
Yeah.
So I just got a blank.
How much did we spend on this?
That was, oh my God, that was $182.
Yeah, it seems like money well spent.
Yeah.
It's an Iceman production. It's New Year's Eve. Two shows at 1 o'clock at the Rouse Center and 6 o'clock in Downers at the beautiful Tivoli.
And look for me. I'm going to be walking up Michigan Avenue and State Street, the Blue Line, today.
How about the Kennedy of the Ike?
No, not today.